Welcome to day 271 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be reading Nehemiah chapters 8 through 10. As we open in chapter 8, we are going to see or hear the reappearance of Ezra in Jerusalem and his impact on the Jewish people with regard to reviving interest in the Word of God, the law of God. The last thing we heard about Ezra some days ago was when Ezra actually arrived in Jerusalem, saw the state of the Jewish people, and the fact that they had fallen so far from what was required by the law of Moses in that they had intermarried with foreign wives, and even the highest leaders among the spiritual leaders, which were among the priests, had even fallen into this disregard of God's law, and many of the priests themselves had even married foreign wives. And you may recall the very difficult day when Ezra announced that it had to be done, that they separate themselves from their foreign wives. And this was a process that would take about 3 months as they went case by case through each Jewish family. And this was something that brought great sorrow to the people in Jerusalem, but they did comply with what they knew was God's will for them. Then, as far as the Bible goes, Ezra disappears for 13 years. In other words, we don't hear anything from him. We don't know what was happening, but we can only surmise that this very strong word that Ezra brought no doubt put him in a situation that made it difficult for him to bring any further reforms, because that particular reform was the most difficult and invoked a lot of sorrow in the camp, though the people did comply with what God had him do. So 13 years of silence, Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem during that time, and he begins rebuilding the wall, goes through all the difficulties and opposition, finally gets the wall completely rebuilt and dedicates it. And now we see Ezra's reappearance. And perhaps the rebuilding of the wall gave the people courage that God was with them once again, and that God was hearing their prayers, and that God hadn't forgotten them or rejected them. And it began a revival of sorts among the people. So they had a hunger to know what else God had to say. So today, as we read, we are going to hear of this great day where all the people had gathered and they had a great public reading of the Word of God, the law of Moses. And this is a time when things begin truly a spiritual revival in Israel as a direct result of the people being exposed to the hearing of the Word of God. And even as you are hearing the Word of God daily, as you listen to my Everyday Bible, it's causing a spiritual impact in your life, whether you realize it or not, because God's Word always brings a blessing, and the Word of God never returns void. And so it was in the day of Nehemiah and Ezra. And you're going to hear about this amazing day where they read the Word of God for 3 hours in a public meeting and then have 3 hours of prayer and repentance. So we begin at Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at the first verse. We're reading from the New American Standard Bible. And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go. Eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Then, on the second day, the heads of the fathers' households of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe, that they might gain insight into the words of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of other leafy trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the square at the water gate and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day, and there was great rejoicing. He read from the book of the law of God daily, from the first day to the last day, and they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. Chapter 9. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting, in sackcloth, and with dirt upon them. The descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. While they stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day. And for another fourth, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now on the Levites' platform stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenani, and they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Oh, may your glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, and the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. You are the Lord God, who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanite, of the Hittite, and the Amorite, of the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite, to give it to his descendants, and you have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. Then you performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants and all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted arrogantly toward them and made a name for yourself as it is this day. You divided the sea before them, so they passed through the midst of the sea on dry ground, and their pursuers you hurled into the depths like a stone into raging waters. And with a pillar of cloud you led them by day, and with a pillar of fire by night, to light for them the way in which they were to go. Then you came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So you made known to them your holy Sabbath and laid down for them commandments, statutes, and law through your servant Moses. You provided bread from heaven for them for their hunger. You brought forth water from a rock for them for their thirst. And you told them to enter in order to possess the land which you swore to give them. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to your commandments. They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. Even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, 'This is your God who brought you up from Egypt,' and committed great blasphemies, you, in your great compassion, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. Your manna you did not withhold from their mouth, and you gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. You also gave them kingdoms and peoples, and allotted them to them as a boundary. They took possession of the land of Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, the king of Bashan. You made their sons numerous as the stars of heaven, and you brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to enter and possess. So their sons entered and possessed the land, and you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, who gave them into their hand with their kings and the peoples of the land to do with them as they desired. They captured fortified cities and a fertile land. They took possession of houses full of every good thing, hewn cisterns, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance. So they ate, were filled, and grew fat, and reveled in your great goodness. But they became disobedient and rebelled against you, and cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to you, and they committed great blasphemies. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But when they cried to you in the time of their distress, you heard from heaven, and according to your great compassion, you gave them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. But as soon as they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore, you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. When they cried again to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you rescued them according to your compassion and admonished them in order to turn them back to your law. Yet they acted arrogantly and did not listen to your commandments, but sinned against your ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he shall live. And they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not listen. However, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your Spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great compassion, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and compassionate God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness, do not let all the hardship seem insignificant before you, which has come upon us, our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria to this day. However, you are just in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have acted wickedly. For our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers have not kept your law or paid attention to your commandments and your admonitions with which you have admonished them. But they, in their own kingdom, with your great goodness which you gave them, with the broad and rich land which you set before them, did not serve you or turn from their evil deeds. Behold, we are slaves today. And as to the land which you gave to our fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves in it. Its abundant produce is for the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please, so we are in great distress. Now, because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing, and on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. Chapter 10. Now on the sealed document were the names of Nehemiah the governor, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malchijah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluk, Harim, Meremoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Mashulam, Abijah, Mijamin, Maaziah, Bilgai, Shemaiah. These were the priests. and the Levites, Jeshua the son of Azaniah, Binui of the sons of Hanadad, Kadmiel, also their brothers Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Mika, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Bani, Beninu. The leaders of the people, Parosh, Pahath-Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Azgad, Babai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Adin, Ater, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashum, Bezai, Harif, Anathoth, Nabai, Madpiash, Meshulam, Hazir, Meshez Abel, Zadok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Aniah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashub, Halohesh, Pilha, Shobek, Rehum, Hashabna, Maasiah, Ahaya, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, Baana. Now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the land to the law of God, their wives, their sons and their daughters, all those who had knowledge and understanding, are joining with their kinsmen, their nobles, and are taking on themselves a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given through Moses, God's servant, and to keep and to observe all the commandments of God our Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes, and that we will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land, or take their daughters for our sons. As for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day, and we will forego the crops the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. We also placed ourselves under obligation to contribute yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, for the continual grain offering, for the continual burnt offering, the Sabbaths, the new moon, for the appointed times, for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and all the work of the house of our God. Likewise, we cast lots for the supply of wood among the priests, the Levites, and the people, so that they might bring it to the house of our God, according to our fathers' households, at fixed times annually, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law, and that they might bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of every tree to the house of the Lord annually, and bring to the house of our God the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, as it is written in the law, for the priests who are ministering in the house of our God. We will also bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine and the oil, to the priests at the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites, for the Levites are they who receive the tithes in all the rural towns. The priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tenth of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of the grain, the new wine, and the oil to the chambers. There are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. Thus we will not neglect the house of our God. This is the end of today's scripture reading. When we opened in Nehemiah chapter 8, we were looking into an amazing day in the history of the Israelites. These people had returned to Jerusalem after 70 long years of captivity in Babylon, and now they are standing in the square in Jerusalem in front of one of the gates of the wall called the Water Gate, and they stood for a period of 3 hours from 9 o'clock until noon and listened as Ezra the scribe began to read to the people from the law of the Lord, from the law of Moses, God's word. Now you have to understand two things about that particular scene in history. First of all, it was a requirement of the elders of Israel, according to Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting at verse 9, that every 7 years, the elders were required during the Feast of Tabernacles, in the time when all the people would gather and assemble in Jerusalem, that the elders were required to have a public reading of the law of God. And it specifically stated, in order that the people would listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So Moses had given this specific statute before they even crossed over and entered the promised land, that in order to stay in relationship with God, that reading of the word of God was critical. And because many of the people couldn't read, and they definitely didn't possess personal copies of the law of God like today we have Bibles, multiple Bibles, in many households across many lands. And yet at that time, many people did not read. And secondly, they didn't possess personal copies so that they could read in their leisure time what God's word actually said. So there was this very important statute that when they gathered together every 7 years as a nation to go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, to celebrate the festival or Feast of Tabernacles, they were to have this public reading of the word of God so that the people would be reminded of what God had said, and those who were young and had never heard it would begin to learn to hear the words of God and to understand it and to follow it. So that's the first bit of background you need to understand about this scene that we see in Nehemiah chapter 8. And the fact that they had been in captivity in Babylon had prevented this public reading of the word of God for more than 70 years. So essentially, by this time, more than 90 years had elapsed, and there had not been a public reading of God's word to the people. And so many of the people had never even heard the word of God read. They hadn't heard it personally. And so that is what prompted this extraordinary and emotional response when Ezra began to read the law of God to the people. The scripture told us there in Nehemiah chapter 8 that all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Can you imagine? They'd never heard God's requirements. They'd never heard God's commandments. And suddenly they're standing there listening to the word of God being read, and they are having a revelation that they had fallen so far short of what God required, and so their response was a genuine sadness and grief over having sinned in the eyes of God, and they truly had a heart encounter. The word of God made a deep impression like a sword into their hearts, and it caused such an emotional reaction. They began to weep, realizing, we haven't followed God's commandments. We have sinned against God. We've grieved the Heavenly Father. We've been living lives that bear no relationship to what God commands. And their reaction was one of heartfelt sorrow over their sin against God. You know, when God's Spirit makes real and alive the Word of God to you, it should have such a deep impression, such an intense impact that we are moved to weeping, to mourning, to grieving when we see something in the Word of God that we realize we don't measure up to that standard. That's what was happening here in Jerusalem when the Word of God was read publicly for the first time in so many decades. And so many of these people had never experienced hearing the Word of God read. So that's the first part that I want you to understand, how intense this must have been for the people who had this first experience of hearing God's word. It led them to a deep, heartfelt repentance for their transgression, their rebellion against the Lord. But the second point that I want to bring to your attention was how Ezra responded to the grief and the sorrow and the repentance that was taking place. He spoke to the people something that was such a powerful word of encouragement, and it's a word that I want to speak to you today. It was this word found in Nehemiah 8, verse 10. He told them, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, how could he tell these people this word when they are grieving and sorrowing over their sins, over how they have offended God, how they've rebelled against God, how they've found themselves to be so far from God in their daily life and behavior in comparison to God's standards, which were clearly enunciated in God's word when the law of Moses was read to them? Here's the amazing truth about God that is so beautiful and should give us reason to rejoice greatly, as Ezra encouraged the people to do when he said, "Don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When a person comes to Christ and allows God's work in that person's heart, allows God to change their desires to the point where that individual desires to please God in all his ways and wants his life to line up with God's desires for him. When that happens, there's this amazing exchange, so to speak. We exchange our sin, our sorrow, and our shame with Christ, who gives us his righteousness, his purity, his holiness. There's this great exchange that takes place. We bring him our sin, our shortcomings, our failures, our bondages, our addictions, our sinfulness, even all our sinful desires. We bring them to the Lord and say, "Lord, we don't want this. We want you. We want all that you are. We want all that you possess. We want the holiness that comes from Christ alone." And when we make that exchange, going to the Lord, trusting in Christ for his forgiveness, his mercy, and the work on the cross that took away our shame and our sorrow and our sin and all that is bondage to a person walking on this earth, when we make that exchange, our sinfulness for his holiness, our shamefulness for his beauty and purity, then this exchange that takes place when a person gives their life to Christ and accepts what Christ did for that person on the cross, then our sorrow and our grief are turned to joy. That's why Ezra could say to the people, okay, don't grieve anymore. You've repented, you've recognized your sin, you've recognized your rebellion, you've realized how you've grieved the heart of God, you realize how you're absolutely so far from God, and yet God has brought to the table His mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness. And Ezra is able to say, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And for us as New Testament Christians, we have even a greater joy, because what Christ did on the cross wasn't revealed yet to the Old Testament people that we're reading about right now. They knew of God's mercy because they saw how God would restore relationship with them when they turned back to the Lord, but they didn't have the full revelation of how complete and total forgiveness and cleansing was done in the work of Jesus on the cross, in His death and resurrection, in the shedding of His blood once for all, that any person who placed their trust in Him would be fully and totally forgiven and cleansed and made pure and holy by Christ Himself. The Jews at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah only had the Old Testament system of sacrifice of animals, shedding of blood for the covering of their sins. We have not just a covering of our sins, we have a removal of our sins through Christ Jesus and His death on the cross. So for us, the words, the joy of the Lord is your strength, holds even greater power. Because do you realize that when you sin and when you confess your sins, according to 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, make us perfectly clean again, make us perfectly pure and holy in His sight, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, bringing us into perfect restoration of relationship with God. We have the reason to have the joy of the Lord in our lives at a higher level, at a greater level, at a deeper level than the Old Testament saints, because they had not yet seen or had the revelation of the work of Christ on the cross. They only had the shadow of it with the shedding of blood of the animals, which would cover their sins. We have the fullness of it with Christ's blood being shed that didn't just cover, but it removed, it cleansed, it literally washed away our sins, past, present, and future. That is a reason for every single believer and every single person who comes to Christ to stop being grieved, but to accept the truth and the beauty and the joy and the reality that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When I first came to Christ and I began to read the Word of God and began to realize, much like these people back in the day of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they heard the Word of God, they began to realize how much they had made the heart of God sorrowful and grieved Him and literally offended God by their sinful behavior. I had that same revelation as a new Christian. Oh, the things I have done in my life have so offended God. They've been so far from what God desired for my life. And I began to grieve so much over my past sin. And yet, a more mature believer began to encourage me and tell me, but you see, all of that has been washed away by the blood of Jesus, and God isn't looking at you like a person who has committed all these sins. He's looking at you through the blood of Jesus and seeing this pure and holy and beautifully cleansed person who looks like Jesus to Him. And that revelation gave me such joy. It made me realize that with Christ I have a totally clean and restored relationship with my Heavenly Father. That gave me such joy. And even to this day, after walking with the Lord for more than 30 years, I have such joy that I'm accepted by my Heavenly Father, that I'm loved by my Heavenly Father, that my Heavenly Father doesn't see me as this person who committed all these sins, but sees me as someone who is like his son Jesus, because his son Jesus has given me his righteousness, his holiness, his purity. And that's how the Heavenly Father sees me now, because of the work of Christ on the cross. So we can truly take Ezra's words to heart for our lives today and say, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God bless you and give you a victorious day.